folks, you gotta have blood spurting out of your forehead because it is WrestleMania week, and this is not the show where it's wrestling with your budget. This is not the show where it's wrestling with your conscience. This is the show where it's wrestling with emotions. So let's said get our panel in here. Slick Saturday, your friend, my friend, our friend, Jake Micah, the Prophet, Rob Ryan, the still newbie, potentially WWE Mark, Ali, and of course, the head of our table here at Wrestling with Emotion, Michael J. Partham. I acknowledge him. Gents, we are just over 5 days till Mania. We got a lot going on, and as we've said for the last year, it seems, what a time to be a wrestling fan.
It's amazing. I mean, here we are. This is the week we've all been waiting for. Another kick-ass Raw last night. SmackDown go-home show's probably going to go hard. Another Dynamite on tap tomorrow night. And, of course, night one, the biggest tag match in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, man. WrestleMania week is special. They've got – there was a – would they say they have, like, 30 hours of content this week for WWE across platform? There's a set reveal on Thursday, which I've already – I don't know if you guys have seen. There's been – the set's been released. Oh, yeah. Looking pretty nice. Looking pretty good there. Had some announcements of some pay-per-views coming up. It's a big week for WWE, a lot. And we could feel a lot differently about the product depending on what they do this time next week too. So a big week just in general, story-wise and company-wise.
Yeah, it's like Micah said, this time next week, we can feel a little different at WWE. We know how we felt last year. We were very confident, and we know what we'll talk about today, and we'll talk about even more this weekend. If they screw this up again, who knows what happens with the WWE product and fans-wise.
Well, do you know what's crazy that I just realized while we were going around the horn is this is the second night one of WrestleMania that is getting main evented by a tag team match, which is something that is pretty insane considering how much WWE's been neglecting its tag teams. But hopefully this weekend we get to see those titles finally separated from the Judgment Day and separated from each other, so we have two tag titles.
Another little point there, it's the second WrestleMania row where both main events on both nights involve the Bloodline. So it just goes to show you how ubiquitous and long-running and how dominant that storyline's been. And you got the Bloodline with Roman's reign. You have Cody and everybody anticipating what a lot of people say should have happened last year. And you have the Dwayne coming in and having his star power and his promos just adding to the mix. And it's all just going to come to a head on both nights of WrestleMania, and everybody's looking forward to it.
What is there not to look forward to? With that said, before we hit the gas on everything, all things WrestleMania Bell, let's check over on the AEW side of things, because not to pull an Excalibur, but we have a huge night on tap with what we have tomorrow. We got a battle of wills. We got a contract signing. We got Best Friends versus Young Bucks. We got Daddy Ass versus Jay White. We got Thunder Rosa versus Slicks Mariah May and Chris Jericho calling out Hook. We've got a loaded show, boys. Does AEW continue to cook, and what are you looking forward to most here?
They definitely continue to cook. I mean, Will Ospreay main eventing almost 3 weeks in a row at this point should say everything you need to know about the direction that AEW is trying to go in. Obviously, that title contract signing is going to be big. I think AEW typically does a good job with contract signings. I think back to the Hangman Page, Kenny Omega contract signing. That was fucking awesome. And then, yeah, Mariah May, Thunder Rosa, giving the women a little spotlight. And I'm not a big fan of Hook keeping on taking on mentors, but it is what it is. If that's what it's going to take to keep getting him showtime, then I'll take it. And the EVPs showing up to wrestle a match. Let's go. They're going for those tag titles.
Yeah, you said it well there, Slick. The Battle of Wills is that's going to just – I'm interested to see Will Ospreay in a match. Like, we've seen him with guys, I feel like, similar builds and similar styles. Not that anybody can really pull off a Will Ospreay style, but to see him with a guy like Hobbs is going to be really interesting. They're still moving along with him taking on the whole Callis family, even though he's technically in the Don Callis family. So we'll
I was going to say, he's not even going to need to turn on the Don Callis family. They're just going to piss him off because he's going to keep facing them.
It's like a family feud.
You're telling me, bruv. But the tag team match, I'm very excited about this. Young Bucks and Trent Barretta versus Trent Barretta and tag team partners have had some incredible matches over the year. And we obviously know what kind of class wrestler Orange Cassidy is. So that should be a really good match, depending on the style of the Young Bucks. Obviously, that EVP style has been a little different, but they can still pull some crazy stuff out there. But the main event for my night is Daddy Ass versus Jay White. I'm still on the belief that Daddy Ass is going to leave the Acclaimed high and dry soon and join up with the Bullet Club Gold and his sons again. We'll be able to see if that can develop. If they beat him down in this night, it'll be a tougher sell for me. But we'll see how that match develops. But that should be a good match with Jay White. Love seeing Jay White wrestle on television anytime. So,
yeah, I'm excited to be in person for this one. But especially that main event, a battle of wills. I mean, Will Ospreay is just keep putting on shows, and now we get to see him against one of the king of the meats in that company. That should be a banger. The contract signing, like Slick said, AEW always puts on good contract signings. And contract signings are just low-key. They're always good. It doesn't matter what company you're in. Contract signing is always exciting. You always expect something big there. Daddy Ass versus Jay White. I'm going to love to do the little scissors, bunch it over and over, little maybe bang-bangs. the hook. Jericho thing, like Slick said, it's kind of getting a little old, the mentorship, but I'm excited to be there.
Parthy.
Cali.
Oh, you know I don't watch AEW. I'm a Mark.
Oh, Mark.
Oh, okay. Mark. Let's just skip over the
Mark.
Let's go right here.
That's why right, I went to you, Parthy.
I'm looking forward to the contract signing. I'm intrigued to see how they're going to sell the match with their promos. We know Swerve's been striving toward this. We know that Samoa Joe is essentially AEW's version of the final boss here. So, and I think we all agree that Swerve's going to be crowned at Dynasty, unless there are any dissenting opinions here. So that's something I'm looking forward to. The Acclaimed are becoming a lot more serious. They're not rapping their way to the ring anymore. So to see how Daddy Ass and Jay White are going to interact out there today and interact out there on Wednesday, and how their respective factions are going to interact is going to be interesting going forward. I'm a little curious about Will Hobbs versus Ospreay, because they're having a lot of these inner Don Callis matches here. And if Ospreay is eventually going to turn on the Don Callis family and go full babyface with it, who's he going to be left to feud with in the Don Callis family? He's going to have beaten them all already.
Not to mention that Don Callis has the greatest theme in all of wrestling right now. Don't forget it. Oh, so with that said, any final AEW thoughts before we jump into Mania here, boys?
I hope I see the CEO tomorrow night.
Oh, I think you're going to see the CEO. I think it's just a matter of whether you're going to see her in multiple backstage segments. Like, I mean, look at Ospreay, right? AEW goes at Okada, even. When AEW goes out and spends money, brings in a big talent, you're not going to not see him for multiple weeks at a time, for sure.
I'm guessing there's some more stuff with Statlander there, because we know the story is with Willow right now, but obviously Willow and Statlander together, and that would be a great first debut match to put Mercedes and Statlander together in the ring, maybe at Dynasty, maybe on Dynamite beforehand. But that feels like a perfect person. She's obviously Statlander's, I don't know if she was a day one AEW signing, but pretty damn near close to it. So someone that the audience is familiar with. And Stokely just hanging out back there. Mercedes put a tweet out right after the show last week. It was like, I've got a bigger prize on my mind. And could it be the services of Stokely Hathaway? I mean, that would be an interesting pairing. And there's been a lot of talk about Mercedes maybe needing some help with a manager, some help on the mic. She hasn't been particularly strong on the mic in her debut, I would say so. But we want to see her wrestle. Like, and her and Statlander would be a killer match.
How many clients does Stokely need? That's unbelievable. I mean, he had multiple in that battle royal last week.
Stokely services are big Monet, if you know what I mean. So.
Yeah. Seriously, they are.
Can I just say what has happened to the Undisputed Kingdom? They have gone stone cold, not Steve Austin wise, but the bad stone kind of stone cold. Like, they had their ROH tag champions lose to Swerve and Samoa Joe. Essentially, they lost to Swerve. Samoa Joe didn't tag into that match, did he? So, and Wardlow, where has he gone? He's dropped off the face of the earth after losing his title match opportunity against Samoa Joe. Until Adam Cole gets back from his injury, they're just doing nothing here.
Well, and
I agree on the Kingdom, but sorry, Micah, but Wardlow, wasn't that match like 2 weeks ago? Not even?
Yeah, and Roddy is holding a title right now.
I think the biggest issue is the guy that they were supposed to feud with, MJF, has been hurt too. Like, that's the whole storyline, was them taking out MJF, and then bro's been gone since then. So,
but does MJF return before Memorial Day?
MJF gets back?
No.
MJF comes out at the end of Mania.
I mean, I would love that, but
that would be kind of unreal. But again, also, I think the beauty of MJF is what AEW allows him to do. And speaking of being allowed to do, thanks to our sponsor at Batavia Downs, it's time for Train Wreck Trivia. Batavia Downs is more, lots more. Sami Zayn with a massive championship match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Who did Sami Zayn face in his first championship match on the WWE main roster?
John Cena.
Quick snipe by Mike.
Oh. John Cena.
U.S. Open Challenge.
Yeah, I remember it now. Didn't Bret
Hart?
It was also
Sami Zayn's first match on the main roster. He came out with Bret Hart, as Parthy said.
And he dislocated his shoulder, hyping up the crowd. That's why he's holding his arm like that.
He dislocated his shoulder doing this, if you didn't know. Like, literally, like, going like this, he dislocated his shoulder. So that shows you how pumped Sami Zayn was for the moment. But I know we are all pumped on this panel for WrestleMania, and it is not just the Bloodline versus Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and the possible Cody Vengers. So with that said, Parthy, why don't you lead us off on this one? We'll go around the horn. What's your favorite Mania non-main event that you're looking forward to?
Both from a wrestling perspective and a storyline perspective, it's Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Because the way they're handling this Chad Gable dynamic after people were pretty much upset that Chad didn't get this spot, and now he's basically gone into this role of being the Rocky-like coach to Sami Zayn's Rocky, and he's basically pumping him up and motivating him and saying, you know, Gunther's on a different level and you got to get on a different level. And to see Gunther out there, as was pointed out, basically trying to beat down Sami Zayn and Chad Gable beforehand, which he's never really had to do before. He's always just gone in there, beat some guy and left, never needing to injure them beforehand or intimidate them physically beforehand, or needing any help from his, you know, Imperium, you know, cronies. It's curious, because if things have gone the way that they were originally supposed to go, Gunther was going to wrestle Brock Lesnar, and it was a foregone conclusion he was going to be put over by Brock Lesnar and continue his Intercontinental historic reign. But now that they're giving this Sami Zayn underdog role as his challenger, and now that Gunther's appearing more desperate, it's putting a little doubt, at least in my mind, whether or not Gunther will walk out as the Intercontinental Champion. I still think the odds are in favor of Gunther, but, you know, putting over Gunther essentially on the Go Home Raw show really puts that little seed of doubt in my mind. So other than, you know, Cody, people are comparing Cody's story from last year to this year as a Rocky-like storyline, and this is more overt in that sense with Chad pumping up Sami Zayn and motivating him to beat Gunther. So other than the Bloodline, Gunther versus Sami Zayn is going to be a great story, and it's going to be a great wrestling match.
All right, Ollie, it's the equivalent of Christmas morning. Unleash it on us, you Mark. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I will say this. I was probably on the same boat as Partham on the Sami Gunther match for being my, you know, most hyped match other than the main events that we're getting. However, if we're going to talk about the most entertaining match that we're going to see, I really do have a lot of high hopes for this six-pack ladder match for the tag titles. I think that match is just going to be absolutely insane. We're going to have 12 guys in a ladder match fighting over four belts. It doesn't get better than that.
Who put me on the single, Slick? Thanks a lot for nothing.
What
do you got for us?
Ali kind of took mine, but thankfully I had two. That one, I agree, it's going to be a banger, and it's going to probably be a chaotic ending with everything they're hinting at, especially Michael Cole last night saying that the winner has to grab both sets of titles. And there's also a match open on night two still. There's one more match on night one, so I think those are going to get split. But my second favorite, and maybe a sleeper pick, but I'm looking forward to the six-woman tag match with Damage Control and versus Jade, Bianca, and Naomi. It's Jade's first real match in WWE, and I think she's going to put on a banger.
Slick, I am going to literally ban you from the
country. You got to be quicker than that.
Okay. Yeah, well, sometimes the prophet has something important to say. Like when he changes. Yeah,
I'm
going to
drop
minds,
some gospel on your ass.
Drop gospel on all your asses, and I'm waiting. I'll give him a couple seconds at the end. Instead, you're putting him back up and you're making the prophet look like a fool.
No, I do it all. Like,
apologize to Batavia Downs. Apologize to Batavia Downs.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Jake. Micah, what do you got?
Is it cheating if I say Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre? Because it's not a main event. It's one of that title matches. That's the match I'm really looking forward to.
I think it's considered a double main event.
Well, if it's considered a main event, then I have a second one too. But that's the match I'm looking forward to the most outside of this. Drew has been the best character on WWE television for months now. I'm excited to see how they play that match out. We've seen Drew and Seth have some really good matches together already, and if Drew's going to get crowned here, maybe this is the moment. If Damian Priest is actually going to try to, Damian Priest is an idiot for not trying to cash in last night, so maybe he'll try to do it tonight. But if we're counting that as a main event, it's the storyline years in the making since birth, really. Jimmy and Jay going at it, man. Twin versus twin.
Oh.
Brother. Gotta be it. Sorry, Slick, if I took that one.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I thought we were all going to have a different pick here, but yeah, I'm with you, Jake. There's so many exciting matches. I love Ali's point about the ladder match. Anytime you put that many guys and ladders in a ring, it's going to be good. But I really love how they're continuing this thing of like every 15 years of WrestleMania, brothers square off. And it just happens to be like two of the best brothers that have ever wrestled in the WWE every time. I hope they keep that tradition going. But Jimmy and Jay, you obviously the chemistry when they tag in the ring together, one of the best tag teams of all time. You add a whole new dynamic when you take one of those best tag teams of all time and pit them offensively against each other. So I'm excited. They've been waiting for this match probably their whole careers as twin brothers in a spot like this, WrestleMania 40. So I think they're going to put on a show. They obviously know the rest of their family is stealing the spotlight. I'm excited for their singles match. I think it's going to be generational.
And don't forget the rule. If your brother botches on you, you got to give the receipt twice as hard. That's just a rule.
To Jake's point, we have not seen Damian Priest even attempt to cash in a few months, which to me is an indicator that it's going to happen soon. They're lulling us into a false sense of security there.
Mm-hmm. So it also makes you think that he's got to be successful, right? If they're waiting this long.
It would do so much damage to that freaking briefcase.
So much damage.
He would be below JD McDonough in the
judgment.
Here's a good booking right here. What if they have him cash it? I don't know why I'm doing this, but what if they have him cash in on the Intercontinental Championship match? Sammy pulls the upset.
And you would have to be an idiot to cash in on anything but a heavyweight title.
He would get for doing that to Sammy. Sammy just wins, and then Damian comes out, boom.
But he has no motivation against Sammy to do it.
It doesn't. He wants a belt.
Get the world title belt.
Listen, anybody could have picked the matches you guys listed because they are all great matches, truthfully. So I'm going to steal back a little bit of thunder. What gets you drama? What gets you, suspense? And truly a match that I think can go either way. Mommy versus the man. Is Mommy going to always end up on top, or does the man reclaim WrestleMania glory? I don't know. I'm up in the air. It was a great segment yesterday.
You think that match can go either way?
Squash.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be brutal.
Squash.
Not complete squash, but I mean, it's a foregone conclusion as far as I'm concerned.
I think like John Cena, Brock Lesnar.
What match did you say that about last time again that was a foregone conclusion?
Which one?
I believe you also said that Cody versus Roman was never going to happen too.
unless Rock fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the exact word.
Yeah, unless Rock fell off a cliff.
Wait, that was Parthy? Parthy, our head of the table, said that?
He might have.
Yeah. Because Cody said it wasn't going to happen at Mania.
Check the tape.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to check the tape, boys. Seriously.
At that point, yeah.
Hey, well, sometimes you got to check the tape, and sometimes you just got to go to the region's premier entertainment destination, Batavia Downs.
Batavia Downs is more, lots more.
Really good points being made by everyone there. I love the fantasy booking with Damian Priest. That's definitely up in the air. But fantasy booking, we saved this for last because I think we can talk about this probably all week if we wanted to. We're going to keep it somewhat brief. Obviously, predictions show on the weekend, but booking night one, night two of the main events. That's why we saved the discussion, picked our favorite non-main event, because these two are just loaded with story, almost going back years at this point. And they are advertising night one as the biggest, I know they do this shit all the time, but the biggest WrestleMania tag match ever.
That's fair.
So we're going to see what everyone's thoughts are here on how this exactly is going to go. I know we all feel separate ways potentially on who takes a pin, who gets the victory, what's the stipulation going into night two. So Partham, I'm going to start with you, head of the table, since we haven't exposed you yet. What do you think is going to happen night one? And then we'll just go around and circle back into night two in the same order.
Well, I think we're going to be all in agreement about the result of the tag match. We're all going to want bloodline rules. We're all going to want chaos. But how's that chaos going to, you know, be constructed? I would, if it were me, I would book McIntyre to get involved in that main event tag match on night one. Because you saw Paul Heyman and McIntyre in the background talking over something. Whatever that was they were talking about, I don't think has come to fruition yet. I think they made a deal where McIntyre will have essentially the bloodlines back on night one. Maybe not necessarily incapacitate Seth, but distract Seth to the point where Rock and Roman take advantage and they get the pinfall on Seth. I think Seth's going to take the pinfall, by the way. And subsequently on night two, the bloodline, maybe their cronies, maybe like Solo and Jimmy. If Jimmy's not too busy, I don't know if it's night one or night two where Jimmy and Jay have their match. I forgot. But I think some crony of the bloodline is going to get involved with Drew and Seth's match and cost Seth his title and further punish him for getting involved in the bloodline's business. When it comes to the main event of night two, obviously it's going to be chaos. Obviously every member of the bloodline is going to take their shots at Cody. Obviously at some point, Jay and Seth are going to come down. I think there might be some shenanigans with the Jay versus Jimmy match at the end too. And that's going to really motivate Seth and Jay. Not that they don't already have Cody's back, but to, you know, get their revenge on the bloodline in the main event of night two and come down and try to, you know, head the bloodline off. And it's not going to quite work. And then at some point you're going to hear, you know, do, 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 do. And then the breaking of the glass, you know, whenever Solo is, you know, trying to hit the spike on Cody and Cena wants his revenge on Solo, or the Rock's is in there and he's whipping Cody and he's, you know, talking crap to him once again. And all of a sudden you hear the glass break. And once all the bloodline members are run off and it's just Cody and Roman left in the ring, and he's going to finally put Roman away with the 1, 2, 3 of Crossroads. And then the 1, 2, 3 of the pin, and people are just going to lose their shit. So I don't know I don't know how many more guys we can have show up. I don't know how many more guys we need. There's not that many members of the bloodline. There's like 4 guys outside of Roman, right? So, yeah, all you need is really an Austin and a Cena to fulfill the whole Avengers feel of it. You know, guys coming out of nowhere, coming out of the portals, essentially, and coming down to, you know, take down Thanos and his army. So, yeah, that's pretty much the basics of my booking for night one and night two.
All right, fuck just doing a lap of night one and then night two.
I guess we'll just do both.
I didn't know we were doing night one first and then
the head of the table has to do what he wants. He has to put his foot down and draw a line in the sand sometimes and do what he wants. After all, we're here to acknowledge him.
I think, just to get right into it, I think that tag match, we are going to see the absolute decimation of both Cody and Seth. I think they're going to get absolutely freaking destroyed. I think there's a chance we do see Cody take a pin from Roman, kind of to get that feeling in your stomach, like, oh no, like you know, in the back of our minds, and I said this last year in my first ever appearance on the Wrestling with Emotion, there is a world where we wake up on Monday the 8th, solar eclipse day, and we're still in a Roman Reigns era. And that is the craziest thing about this. Look at Slick's face. It says it all. That could also just be his ear. Oh, it is.
No, I was puking. My bad.
Oh, I thought you acted good acting, brother.
But, do you remember the reception that Roman got after he beat The Undertaker? I mean, the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, if that happens, if Roman's still a champion, I mean, I shudder to think.
Oh, man, that would be fucking hilarious.
Cody would just have to retire at that point. But, I mean, I knew my personal, like, if I were putting money on it, I'm saying Cody's winning, right? I'm just saying there is a chance. He's close to Hogan. But so, yeah, I think we're going to see them get absolutely destroyed. I think we'll only see interference on the heel side. They're going to save all the Avengers for night two. Once we get into night two, I think we're definitely going to see Drew go over on Seth. He's going to get that belt. And I think he's probably also going to get involved in the match somehow. I think he's going to have some help getting that belt. And he's also going to help them out in return. And that's when we get Seth's music to hit. I hope the John Cena Rock combo comes out. But I do, at the end of the day, want it to be just him and Reigns in the ring on equal ground, whether that's standing or on the floor dead. I want them on equal footing, and I want them to have a fair at least 5 minutes where Cody eventually comes out with a W.
Yeah, I still think there's somehow in night one, Roman and Rock are going to have a little mix-up. I don't know. I've been thinking all day. I don't know how this would translate in night two's Bloodline rules, but I'm thinking Rock is going to try to go for a pin on Cody, and Roman's going to be like, whoa, hold up. I'm the tribal chief. I'm the head of the table. I'm pinning Cody right now. So he pushes Rock away to start like some chaos between them. Roman pins Cody for the win on night one. But for the night two, I still do think we get John Cena. We get Stone Cold. So I don't know. And I think the Rock somehow plays a factor in Cody winning. But I don't know how that happens if they also have Cena and Austin come out. But I do think it ends with both of them in the ring by themselves, Roman and Cody. And we see the triple crossroads this time. And then the pin 1, 2, 3.
That's music to my ears. You're the prophet for a reason, Rob. I think The Rock is going to go to pin Cody, and Roman's going to be like, no, set him up for a spear and take that pin. And that's where we got to get a sign of dissension between those two somewhere. I feel like that's the best part for it. I do think so. We haven't talked about Jimmy and Jay, and how we've talked. Well, Mike, you mentioned a little bit about how they play into it and what could happen at the end of that match. I truly think that they're going to like be emotional and like hug after that match, like not be enemies, but be like still like on the opposite sides. Like Jay's not obviously going to be in the Bloodline, but they're going to be like, okay, like we're kind of, you know,
you're back my brother.
On ground. You're my brother. Like we just had this moment and everything. And maybe we get some backstage stuff with that, with Jay, like maybe in the background talking to Jimmy about the Bloodline rules match and everything else. And that could be something that plays into the main event. I think it's going to be Bloodline rules. I think Roman's going to pin Cody. I think Cody's going to come out to the ring and all the Samoans are already going to be out there. Like it's not even going to be one-on-one to start. It's just going to be Rock, Roman, Solo, Jimmy, whatever other Samoans they have join on, the Fatus, Tama Tonga, whoever you want to bring.
Rikishi, everybody. The Girl Scout Cookie, all of them.
And that's how we get our Avengers moment where Cody comes out and he's like, well, what am I going to do? And then Seth's music hits, Jay's music hits, and he's like, oh, wait, we're not done here. Sammy's music hits, Stone Cold's music hits, John Cena's music hits, and we get Anarchy in the Arena, WWE style for this match. And then it comes down to, like you said, Ali, at the end. By the end of it, it's Roman, Cody, everybody else is wiped out, and we get them for 5 minutes, and that's when Cody finally gets the win in the 1, 2, 3. But I think it's going to be utter chaos right from the beginning. I don't think it's going to be run-ins and everything like that, because we know, like, if it's Bloodline rules, we know the run-ins are happening. Just bring them out there. Just have it for the beat.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
It could just turn into like a lumberjack match, but people are allowed in.
I don't think they need to have a wrestling match, though, because they had that match last year. Like, have it just be the chaos.
This is going to be like a show. Like, the first 40 minutes of Raw yesterday felt like a movie. Like, that honestly, I hate when people are like, oh, this is cinema. But like I swear to God, dude, I was watching that with Seth standing in the crowd. I was like, dude, like this is heating up. This is cooking. And then one thing I did want to mention while you were speaking there too about the Rock's, you know, kind of trying to take the pin and then Roman coming in and being like, no. I feel like we've been lulled into a false sense of security. I think someone's turning on someone. We're going to see a heel turn somewhere.
I think that eventually happens. But if you had any heel turn coming from Rock, I don't think they'd do it this soon at this point, just based on the beating that he gave Cody like not even a week ago. I couldn't see him turning on Roman that quickly after doing all that shit to Cody, like them making that emphasis off the air. I think dissension definitely starts night one. We're not just talking about a spot to do it. I think you can do dissension in like every single spot of this match that you can have if you want. Make it the entire match. And like, it's obvious that that's why Cody and Seth end up winning. I think Cody gets the pin on The Rock night one. Just based on all the smack that's been going on, I think Rock, just like you guys said, Roman has his spot basically picked. Rock is like, no, we got to finish him off. Tag me in. It leads to a whole bunch of tomfoolery where Rock ends up taking a crossroads or a Cody cutter like off the top rope or some shit. As soon as he tags in, Roman's decapitated on the side, and Cody gets the 1-2-3 on The Rock, and then they just start talking. Yeah, misuse.
Incapacitated.
And that's where the real dissension starts is Rock tagged himself in. Roman's like, oh, we don't even need you in the picture. But then Rock's like, nah, I'm the final boss, baby. I would also love to see Rock pull some like EVP shit night one. Like, oh, like I can hit the ref and not get disqualified if I want. I'm on the board, bitch. So like, I want to see abuse of power where it leads to Rocky taking a pin, because I think Rock like knows at this point the crowd would go absolutely nuts if you get Cody pinning Rock night one and then Roman night two. I mean, that is finishing the story. But night two, Jake, you just gave me like such a good idea when you have all those Avengers coming out first. Imagine you have Cody come out and he brings out Jay. He brings out Seth. He brings out Sammy voluntarily. And then Randy Orton comes out and is like, oh, Cody, like I was prepared for this before you were. I brought some friends of my own. Cena, Austin, Taker, bring the whole fucking lineup.
You said that Cody and Seth are going to win night one. Then night two is a clean one-on-one match.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
See, I just fangasmed for no reason. Because that was like,
so you're thinking about that portal scene like right from the get-go, like not even waiting for toward the end of the match. You want the heels and the babyface teams to just collide with each other from the get-go. Maybe they run off to the sides and we get the Cody and Roman one-on-one.
I changed my pick. That I was getting carried away with myself. I think it is Bloodline Rules Night 1. Now I got to change it somehow. But I think that match is all the beginning of the end for the Bloodline, and it starts to crack the seams. I guess I'll go with – I don't even know at that point. Who the hell's – Roman pins Seth, I guess.
Just to be different? Like, what do you actually think is the more likely thing to happen?
I think it's more likely Bloodline Rules, just because based on what they
can do. Well, no. But who would you think it's more likely that Roman or Rock pins Seth or Cody? Because I feel like Roman pinning Cody is like the best story there.
Yeah, I think Roman gets the pin for sure. I don't see the point in the Rock taking one. It's tough, dude. It's tough.
If Cody takes the pin, I think he'll take it from The Rock, and that sets up a SummerSlam match down the road. If Rock comes back in time.
Yeah, I mean, or whatever. It really all depends on how long you have Rock. And like, I know you probably do have him a long time. How long can you extend this before you finally get Roman versus Rock? Because they wanted to do that this Mania.
It took a year for Cena and Rock.
One thing about the beginning of the Bloodline dissension, Roman said something, I believe, in his documentary, his A&E documentary, which I actually didn't pick up on my first time watching it, but people are saying he said it, that if he loses to Cody at Mania, he's gone. So then what bloodline is there left? What Rock-Roman dynamic is there left if Rock's going to go off and make a movie and Roman says he's done if he loses to Cody?
And that's why I think that the Jimmy and Jay thing becomes more prominent in that, especially with Solo related. Rock, he's supposed to be gone for the movie and everything, but it feels like I feel like if Roman's going to turn babyface and work for a Rock Roman feud, then the Usos are going to be with Roman, and maybe Solo is with the Rock, and maybe another whatever other Samoan they're bringing in is with the Rock, and that's how we get like a bloodline versus Roman and the Usos, because that's where it started, right? Was Roman and the Usos, and I feel like they end up back together somehow. So I think Jimmy and Jay can carry that. It's main event Jay Uso.
I think the Rock really might. The
it's just
around.
Me Us.
He owns his own production company. And he's on the board of the WWE. So really, he could just be like, I own the production company that's making this movie. I'm wrestling.
The movie's going to fail. It doesn't matter what movie
it is. I don't know about that one. I think the lawyers would shut that shit down real quick.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you can't be having Dwayne Johnson get injured on the movie set. You know?
No, you don't think.
But what if it's his movie set?
I mean, it's still not good. The movie's not getting made.
Mike, well, yeah, but he's making so much money. Have you not bought Papa Tui?
I thought about it. I did. Mike, you don't think Roman's like gone though? By
no, he's right? gone permanently okay, gone, okay. But he's going to go away for a little while because oh, yeah, he's been sure. on a part-time schedule as it is. He's gone away already, you know, here and there. But now he's going to be gone a little bit longer than usual.
We'll talk about what Roman does if he does end up going. When we find out what happens, still a lot of week left. SmackDown before we even get to this. Let's get our final takes, sign-offs here, shout-outs, whatever you got. If you think something quick that's going to happen on SmackDown, let's go around the horn real quick and sign off.
Yeah, we got to have a big Roman Cody angle on Friday, whatever it is, because the focus has been so much. Like last Monday, we get Roman and The Rock, obviously. Or not Roman and The Rock, Cody and The Rock. This week, we had Roman and Rock beat down Cody and Seth, which... just two of the best Raw endings I've ever seen in my life. Like I never would have imagined we'd see those two whipping like some people with a weight belt at the end of Monday Night Raw. Just a crazy like kind of way that those two shows have ended. But we need some focus on Roman and Cody. Like that's the main event of night two. We need to bring the focus back on there and see where it goes. Oh, we got a run in, a run back.
We got a Dusty Avengers, finish, folks. We got a Dusty finish.
You got kicked out of the match and just came back out.
Who booked the best night two? That's all I want to know.
I don't know.
Definitely not me.
I booked the best night one.
He booked the best night two, except he booked it as a Bloodline rules match, and he booked night one as the babyface.
Yeah, so I fucked it all up. I will say, I forgot to say, if I'm fantasy booking night two, I think I've been saying this since like summer of last year. Cody's got to be having that title raised. Like, so Rock is somehow congratulating him, doing the Roman arm raise like after the Rumble, and then MJF walks out. If I'm fantasy booking, that's how I do it. I don't think that happens, but I just had to say it.
That's very fair, very fair. Speaking of potentially not very fair, we saw this in the group chat, so let's finish with this. It's something that we are getting way ahead of ourselves when I bring it up, but why not? Why not get ahead of ourselves and bring it up a little bit? Uh-oh. You can bet on it, folks.
Oh, God.
Oh, CM Punk fired or to quit WWE before end of... I mean, this is no longer speculation. This isn't Slick and I setting an over-under for backlash, you know, for this. There, it's only 2.5 to 1. This is the equivalent of like a 7-point underdog in football. So if you're thinking like, you know, that this couldn't happen, this very easily could happen, according to the odds makers. I want to know from anyone in this panel, do they think these odds are crazy?
Yeah. I mean, just from what we've been hearing about Punk backstage, we've been hearing a lot about how even him and Seth are getting along, which is like insane to hear about. I think that he knows that this is his last chance. Like, otherwise he's going to be working garages and, you know, high school basketball arenas for the rest of his life, which I'm pretty sure is not, or he could go back to UFC to get his ass beat. But the point of the matter is this is his last chance and he knows that. I think the only way we see him leaving WWE is if he goes and wrestles like two matches and gets injured again. At that point, dude, call it quits. Your body's
That's
done.
What I'm saying too. Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be a little injury factored in here for sure. I just feel like he loves WWE so much. And isn't the whole thing that he's kind of trying to become Shawn Michaels? What happened to that angle?
Can I put my money
like a management role?
Guys, can I put my money where my mouth is?
Yes.
I am not a betting man. I am not a gambling man. I know a lot of you guys here are gamblers. I know Trainwreck is built on gambling, so, and I don't begrudge anybody for doing it. But I've never put money on anything in my life. I'm not putting money here, but I'm making a bet. If CM Punk is either fired or quits WWE before the end of 2024, I will leave Wrestling with Emotion.
Whoa! Oh! That's a crazy bet. Flip it. Can we just shave your head instead?
Go ahead.
Because we like you on here.
Yeah.
Can we like shave your eyebrows off or something instead?
No, I like my eyebrows.
I literally just jumped out of my seat. My mic came and completely unplugged because that is a bet and a half. I mean, that's more than money to you, Parthy. You take a lot of pride in being the head of the table here.
Well, I'll go be the head of the table somewhere else. Or maybe, I don't know.
Whoa! That's crazy.
Nobody takes your ball and goes home from here, folks. But hey, a better hope nobody pisses CM Punk off at catering over the next couple months or Parthy's done on this show.
Yeah.
I might have to make some calls.
any other final thoughts before we sign off here, gents?
I have a final thought. I know Mike started mentioning it. I know Mike started mentioning it about Friday night, how we kind of need a Roman Cody one-on-one face-to-face again. I don't know if they would do it just because it's Paul Heyman's induction and it's Rock's grandmother's induction, but all three of them will be somewhere in that building on Friday night. Does Cody interrupt Roman during Heyman's induction speech? I know Heyman and Cody, they have that really good relationship dating back Cody's whole life. But it would be a great time for Cody to do something and interfere with Roman's speech.
Hit him with the, my father, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes.
I think they go off the air on Friday with Cody making some calls. I think that's what they got to leave us.
Oh.
Cody, is Cody scheduled to be there Friday night?
He's in town. He's got to be on the show. Like
He's clearly in the proximity for sure. That should be exciting. I mean, let's face it. We've been talking about what a great time it is to be a wrestling fan. This is what you do it for. This is like Christmas multiplied by St. Patrick's Day, multiplied by the best day of the entire summer. And that's not talking about even SummerSlam. That's talking about WrestleMania this weekend. We got Dynamite tomorrow. We got WrestleMania this weekend. Huge shout out to our panel, the head of the table, Michael Partham. We got Marky Markington Ali. We got your friend, our friend, my friend, Jake Micah. We got the Prophet, Rob Ryan. We got Slick Saturday and Maniac for myself saying, this is not the show where it's wrestling with your conscience. This is not the show where it's wrestling with your budget. This is Wrestling with Emotions. Scissors,
yeah. Slick.